I would like you to indulge me just a little bit on this occasion. I know it's not all of you, just a few of you, but I want to say it anyway. I'm sorry I was not with you for the Feast of Christ the King and for All Saints. I've been very busy and very active and very occupied these last few weeks, and I just had to rest. So there we are. But anyhow, I did want to be with you today, especially, excuse me, on this All Souls Day, and here we are. Perhaps you'll be happy to know that the chalice that we used this morning was Father Violette's. I must tell you that from time to time I feel him near me. To amplify just a little bit what Father said to you this morning, excuse me, I want to point out to you, I want to remind you, don't forget to look at the necrology. In the old days, the Catholic newspapers used to put out periodically what they called the necrology. It's the list of all the priests who have died in the diocese. We have our own necrology right here. Look at it. Do you know why? Because it's the list of most, not all, but most of the people who have been buried in this chapel or from this chapel. Look at it. Because they are related to you. They are. They're yours. They are your family. Don't forget to pray for them. To think of them. To offer your good works for them. Don't forget. This is our necrology. And why do I say that to you? A few days ago, I was talking to two women religious. Old, very old. One of them lost her brother, a priest, many years ago. And she said to me, I lost my brother who was a priest, but now he's in heaven. I felt the sting of those words. Personally, the sting of them. A priest dead who was in need of the suffrages, the good works, the remembrance, the holy prayers of his own blood sister who had neglected him because she was under this illusion that he was certainly in heaven. This poor priest, bereft of all prayer, you must remember, if most people don't, you must remember the people who are buried from this chapel. Because if you don't, no one else will. And they are, as we all, in need of divine mercy that can be obtained only by what we will to accomplish for them, since the good Lord made their rescue, their speedy rescue, dependent upon us, since the souls in purgatory can do nothing for themselves except expiate. That's why we say about them, while we can make satisfaction, meaning do something, they, all they do is have satisfaction. All they do is endure. That's all they do. So you must remember them and pray for them daily and frequently. I, for one, not only for my relatives, but especially for Father Violette, I tell him every night, I won't forget you. I'll never forget you. Never. I am not going to explain, I don't have the time nor the will to explain to you the importance of prayer, of good works, except to tell you this, that our divine Savior has placed great value, I don't know why, great value in the works, in the prayers that we perform for ourselves and for one another, particularly if we are in the state of grace, meaning have his life. But there is a great value to it. And you must not forget that, ever. Now, to help you to understand its importance, let me put it this way to you. The divine presence, or let us say the divine essence, the presence of the triune God, is of such a nature that it is, when I use the word, I mean it literally, infinitely above us, infinitely. We have no concept of the degree of humiliation, of the step down that Almighty God took in becoming a man and dying on the cross. We have no concept of it because we see his body and, well, that's fine. And we're grateful and we love him. We have no idea. There are hints of it in the gospel. You are from below. I am from above. Words like that give you some idea of the utter transcendence of God. The Jews knew it. That's why they found it a blasphemy that our Lord should consider himself divine. It's a blasphemy. Because they appreciated the utter otherness of God. Nothing can remain in the divine presence without extreme pain. Extreme disgrace, isolation. We thirst after a God that we can't be near because he is so holy, so other. That's why the souls in purgatory, to give you one little example, are there. Because were they to be in the divine presence, they could not bear the pain of it. that could not bear the humiliation, the shame of it. We don't feel that way because we don't feel God's presence like that. It is only a person who has gone through great and intense and interior purification of not just sense but of soul that he becomes very reverent before Almighty God. Very reverent. We are a mass of faults. Maybe not great sins, although perhaps some that have been, please God, absolved. Please God. But even with that, we carry with us an enormous amount of vices, of faults, of inclinations. That's why we pray, ab occultis meis munda me domine, from my hidden sins, cleanse me. Purgatory accomplishes that. And priests who have the frightening responsibility of purifying and being the instrument of purifying others are bound, first of all, in achieving that degree of purification, which they cannot accomplish without a divine, burning, purifying action. There is no saint. Look at all these saints. Think of the men ones who've been priests. No saint who has not endured that degree of painful, death-like purification. And so they have saved themselves from purgatory to some degree. Maybe all of it. That's how pure God is. That's how intense is his love that saints have not been able to bear when they have experienced some of it, a great deal of it in this life. They want to be loved less, if I could put it that way. That is the degree to some, in some measure, of the divine love that God has for us. Why? Because he chooses to, that's why. What is man that you should keep him in mind? Says the psalm, mortal man that you should care for him. You have made him a little less than the gods. And he bends down to us to elevate us, to sit with princes, as it is said, the princes of his people. That's you and me. And so, the mercy of purgatory, because of the good Lord's great desire to purify us, and to make us worthy to be near him. Do not imagine that as you sit here, you can in some measure come close to the triune God as he is. It's not possible. That's why the souls in purgatory are among the great, can I use the word, objects of devotion, objects of love of Christians. And in this new satanic religion, We are told those things don't matter.
Well, they do.
Very much. Because when I am dead, and I have had no one opportunity to reach that level of purification, I'm going to depend upon you, your children, to think of me, to remember me. Understand? This is very grave. Very, very grave. You remember. You look at that necrology and you think of all those people that I personally, most of whom I buried, personally. And I think of them, all those people. You know, I've told you that it is believed by many, not without reason, that many of them are here now. Some souls are commanded by God to do their purgatory where they have lived. I told you, I feel Father Violette's presence once in a while. I do. Is he here now? Maybe, perhaps. More than just a plaque. Sometimes I can almost see him here. I want you to remember the necrology. Pray for the souls of the faithful departed. Pray for them. Your prayers are more than just words. They are powerful acts of the will that have been endowed with divine authority, divine impetus, because you consent. Since those people are yours, they belong to you. You belong to them. You don't imagine like the pagans that death separates everybody. You can't imagine that, can you? Where's your faith? Those people are with us. They're still a part of us, a part of our lives, a part of our hearts. Have mercy on me, my brother. For the hand of the Lord has touched me. In his desire to be perfectly united with him. One thing that's wonderful about purgatory, those souls know they are saved. They know. They rest in security. You don't know that. They do. You can still lose everything, can't you? With one stupid move, you can lose everything. These souls are safe. And they depend upon your goodness, your kindness. Remember the necrology. And also, lastly, on a day like this, even though it's not in the correct, the complete spirit, but it is not alien to it, pray for yourselves. I do. Pray for yourselves. That you have not the foolishness and the mistake, the forgetfulness, the distraction of living your life superficially. So that when that last moment comes, you've got a lot on your head. to make up for because of the mistakes of my life. But I have not atoned because of the vices, all kinds. Pride is the big one of all varieties that I have not expunged. You cannot be sure that you will die with absolution. You can't even be sure that you will die with extreme unction. Can you? You can't. And what then? It is a wise thing, wise, to have masses offered, as Father said, for the holy souls in purgatory, poor and holy, since they are close to God. God lives in them, and our Lord makes his presence felt by them. Not known in the beatific vision, but felt, no question. Have masses also offered for yourselves with the great intention in reparation for my sins. And also for my sanctification, because you only have one life to live and one chance to achieve it, your sanctification. If you have vices that you know are prevalent in you, remember, those will be the causes of greater punishment in purgatory. Root them out. Root them out. If you're impatient, if you're angry, if you're a deceiver, if you are sensuous, root them out. And perhaps the good Lord will fulfill and perfect what you cannot do, since you cannot do it all perfectly. See? And you'll save yourself a lot of grief, a lot of bitterness, something I myself am utterly aware of. And that's what I wanted to tell you today, about All Souls Day. All right? So you knew, of course, I was not, if I'm going to be here, I'm not going to let you go that easily. Am I? No, I'm not. Because I have a conscience too, and I have to sleep at night. You remember that. Let that be, we used to say in the seminary when we were warned about upcoming final exams. We used to have this expression, verbum sapsat, verbum sapientibus satis. A word to the wise is sufficient. Are you wise? Are you? I hope so. That's what I wanted to tell you. Well, I thank you for your patience, your indulgence, in listening to me in these little instructions. Don't be like that poor, silly, deceived religious who turned her back on her faith because of the lies of which she was the object of propaganda. My brother is dead many years. He's now in heaven. Silly woman. Don't be like that. All right, that's enough.